get there-itis. Is it built into contracts between major airlines and the regionals? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us. Bob Miller is with me, CFI and publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We're going to talk about a topic that has to do with general aviation and maybe has to do with more than general aviation today. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, as always, Paul, it's my pleasure to be with you.
In your lead article entitled Pressure to Go, you talk about get there itis, and you talk about some of the factors that cause it and why we have to watch out for it.
Well, a couple of things, Paul. One, we had lost a highly visible individual here in Buffalo, New York a year ago, who was under considerable pressure to launch into a 200-foot ceiling to be home for his daughter's premiere debut in a school play. The individual was out of IFR currency, but he was under this pressure, and any parent could certainly identify with this kind of pressure. And he took off and unfortunately lost it on takeoff in the clouds, disorientation, and the airplane crashed, and he was killed. I was the go-between in communicating that fact to the parent, and not knowing that the other parent, not knowing that the child was right there in the room. She was just simply inquiring as to where her overdue husband might have been. And then perhaps without thinking and maybe a bit insensitive, I just simply reported that I understood that the airplane went down and the accident, there were no survivors. And it really touched me that when I went back and looked at the circumstances, how there but for the grace of God go you or I would have might have done the same thing. The only difference was just by nature, I happened to be IFR current, would have been more capable of making that kind of a call. But in my own flying career, as I look back, there have been times when personal pressure to go exceeded the wisdom that I should have exercised to stay on the ground. And fortunately, I survived enough times to learn a lesson that could have easily turned out a different way. And so having personal knowledge, personally experienced that I know others do the same thing, whether it's internal or it's external, whether it might be a passenger who's insisting on going, it may be a boss, a supervisor, your employer, or maybe the fact that you need to get to a meeting that might determine the future of your own company. The pressure to go in a situation like that is enormous.
I know in general aviation, Bob, there are probably a lot of cases, many of which work out okay, and we don't ever read about them in NTSB reports, where, I don't know any other way to put this, the machinery was more capable than the operator. Have we gotten ourselves into a situation where we become cavalier just because the equipment is so capable? I mean, there used to be an expression in the old days, if time to spare, go by air. The implication was that, you know, if you could afford to be diverted or, you know, have to stop someplace you didn't really plan on for a while and not make it when you intended to arrive, then air travel was perfectly acceptable. That's no longer the case so much with the airlines. It's very, very rare that an airline flight doesn't get where it's supposed to go on time or at least close to on time. But general aviation flights, I mean, we have to be ready for this, and it seems like a lot of us are not.
Well, you know, to quote another phrase, a little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And unlike the airline operation, where you have very capable equipment, and in 99.9% of the cases, you have very capable crews, and you have a very capable dispatch department that's making the decision on the ground for you in any case. But for general aviation, we do have problems building up because we have things like NEXRAD radar. We have known icing certification now coming on more and more GA aircraft. This is empowering us as pilots to believe that our equipment can carry us through, when in fact our equipment might be seducing us into situations that heretofore we were not prepared to enter. And that alone, I believe, has caused more than a fair number of fatal accidents.
In your opinion, do you think most of these things are caused by these get-there-itis accidents happen in personal flight or in business flight? It seems like the business guys at least are more current.
Well, yeah, I don't know if the data has been teased out to that point. I have flown both personally and professionally, and you know, for career, for business. I think under business pressures, they can be enormous. Now, you know, if we have a third party crew, for example, in a corporate situation where we have paid pilots, very often they're going to make the decision irrespective of what the company pressures are. They're not going to risk their own necks. But when we own the aircraft and we own the company and we are the pilot, then the decision-making process gets extremely clouded. And again, I'm speaking from personal experience. You say to yourself, you know, I've done this before. I've been in worse weather. You know, I can do it. And then that is clouding the wisdom and knowledge that we trained into ourselves that's saying, listen, if there is any question, we're not going to make this flight. What we have to do, in my opinion, is just discipline ourselves to say no, and when to say no, and just leave it at that. I know with my own family, just closing on this thought, I've taught my family that if I say no, there's to be no argument. And they have respected me for that, because there have been times when my family wanted to get someplace, get back so they could go to work the next day or return to school. And if I simply say no, that ends the argument right there. And that's made it easier on me as a pilot.
Well, it also can create more pressure. So I guess it works both ways. Bob, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the application of this principle in the airline world. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We're talking about get there itis. Bob, not too long ago, a few days ago, PBS ran a special where they looked at practices, safety practices within the regional airlines, and they found a lot of different things amiss. Or suspect, from everything from, you know, a ramp worker not wanting to check the tire pressure because it was lousy weather to, you know, other causes that provoked people to overlook things that they really should have paid attention to. But one of the more interesting concepts they presented was the idea that the contracts the major carriers have with regional airlines may be set up to produce an extreme case of get their itis pressure. What's your thought on that, and do you think that this is a widespread problem?
Well, yeah, again, this is contract language, and as reported, as you indicated on PBS, they had discovered that the Colgan Air's contract with its parent company, Continental, was such that if the Colgan flight did not arrive at its destination per the agreement, the company would not be paid at all for the flight. Therefore, there's a enormous pressure on the crew and on Colgan to be sure that that airplane gets off and gets to its destination. Often, as was intimated in the piece on PBS, against the, in threatening weather or, just for the sake that, again, if they don't get there, they're not going to get paid at all for the entire flight. This is something that I know the FAA and the NTSB is looking at to say if there's a better way. One way, of course, would be to make the parent company, in this case, Continental, responsible for the safe outcome of its subsidiary regional carriers, because it's carrying the same paint colors, ticket indication indicating that, in fact, it is operated by the parent company. There's going to be a lot of work in this, I'm sure, in the next few months to see if they can begin sorting this issue out.
Well, the whole basis for contracting out some of these flights to regional airlines has to do with profit margins, or even preserving a profit at all by the parent airline. Or I guess I could say the mainline airline. They're not always related corporately to the regionals.
Well, sure, because union agreements, I mean, you there has to be some parity within the company if it's within the company. But if you create a separate subsidiary company or contract it out, you can get away with paying a first officer $16 an hour on the regional. You'd never get away with that on the major. So, I mean, there's lots of economies there designed to fly cheap, increase that profit margin, and do whatever you can. This is part of the whole capitalistic system. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as safety is not being compromised. But as we're seeing here, there is an appearance that safety is being compromised.
Again, thank you for a thought-provoking Monday. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Paul.
You can find Bob's latest writings anytime and details on how to get an email when new issues are released at www.overtheairwaves.com. Bob's newsletter is free of charge. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.